Pulling up links. Pulling up links. Pulling up links. Pulling up Link Tech Show. Pulling up links. Pulling up links. Pulling up links. Pulling up Link Tech Show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show, Wednesday, April 21st edition, 2004. This is show number 29, right, Link?
Yes, it is.
Show number 29.
Wow.
We got it packed full tonight for you. Alan's just bursting at the seams.
Jam-packed and full of fudge. I mean fun.
Link is just bursting at something else. So before we launch into our wonderful show, we're going to play our promo for you. And if you are out there, jump on the IRC, that's the linuxlink.net, and join Pound Tech Show. We're waiting for you, and we'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys, or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. And let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Talk over the bumper music.
Talk over the bumper music.
Talk over the bumper music. Hey, my name is Dan Washko, one of the three hosts of the Linux Link Tech Show. I'm sitting right across from Mr. Link Fezzedin.
Hey.
And over there is Alan Metzler.
He's cracking up with the bumper music because I just started hearing it
on the screen. Hey, the bumper music is cool, man. We always strive to do some kind of...
Something different.
Yeah, something a little different. Maybe some kind of professionalism sort of... Yeah, you know, the radio shows have bumper music, right? Why can't we?
Why not? Why not, indeed?
It's free. What the heck?
Why not, man?
And free is fair. Use.
Free's better than cheap. That's what
certified.
Certified. Certifiable.
The Linux Link Tech Show, or techshow@thelinuxlink.net email account, has not been burning up our email clients lately. It hasn't been since the start, so if you have any questions or comments, please.
Or something you want to hear us talk about, too.
Please, send them into the Tech Show. Because sometimes people get on the chat and they say, hey, you guys should talk about this. And once the show's over... out of sight, out of mind.
Until next week, yeah.
Until next week, that's right. So definitely, please.
We know there are people listening to us, so you can email us in.
Yeah, we have heard that there is actually maybe one or two people that do.
Yeah,
listen.
You three guys that are listening, and the other four that pick up the archive.
Right.
Please send us your comments, questions, requests.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to come and join us. Well, hopefully, eventually, you won't have to come down here and join us. We'll have that hybrid as soon as Mark comes back.
Yeah, Mark, if you pick this show up, man, we need to get something working there.
You know what I think did it? Uh-huh. My dog wasn't here the time he was here.
The dog gassed him out.
It got so bad we had to kick the dog out just like before. So the poor puppy.
He's never coming back.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the smell. It was the haze in between me and my laptop, you know.
The eye watering, yeah.
All right, so let's get on to some goodies tonight.
Goodies?
Goodies. Oh!
Link's quick on the old music stuff going on there tonight, man.
Now I feel bad because I don't really have headphones to hear what you're playing. I always get it like 20 seconds later when I hear it on the
screen. Hey, you can be the one guy that downloads it from the archives and listen
there
to
you
it.
Go.
Yeah.
I'll burn up your
yeah, speaking of the downloads from the archives, whatever happens, you used to come in every week with, hey, look at these downloads, you know, the number of people that downloaded.
Oh, well, we still have a whole bunch of them, but I, you know, don't keep track of them quite the same way anymore because there are so many now, actually. More than you would think.
But our listeners are clamoring to hear how we're growing.
Well, you just keep talking to them, and I'll pull up my web stats and tell you how many there are then.
Fantastic. Webalizer, is that what you're using?
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
Alan, what do you check your web stats with?
Because I just set this thing
up. My finger.
Nothing, because I don't have a web. Unfortunately, being the owner of only a one-way cable modem, I don't get to do all the neat and cool things that you guys get to do. Like check my stats because I don't have any.
Well, speaking of modems and stuff and hardware updates, hopefully next week I should be moving over to Speakeasy.
Ooh.
So we're looking at possibly 2-3 weeks down the line, actually when I get all the hardware in and get it all set up and the IP address and domain changed over.
This means pipe. That we will have like bandwidth so that more than two people can listen to the show live, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Three people can listen.
Four of us.
Three people can listen, yeah. And you have a separate, a couple extra static IP addresses, so, you know, you really hook them up then.
We can have a mirror site.
Whoa.
Look, our mirror site's 2 feet away, 2 inches away from our main site. And then, Alan, you can come over and download your updates even faster.
Oh, even faster. Well, I meant to do it before I came over, actually, and I just forgot. And for some reason, coming over here to the Den of Slack over here.
The Den of Slack.
The Den of Slack. It reminded me to do that, and plus your postings on the mailing list also reminded me.
Postings no more.
Well, postings no more, but still. Actually, I thought that was rather helpful because I usually don't pay attention to them all that often.
And there you have it, folks. Alan doesn't pay attention.
See, now that's the reason why I was posting in the first place, because too many people don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. You should be signed up for the Slackware security updates.
I should be signed up for
I should
do
it, and I didn't do it yet.
You cheap bastards.
But anyway, here's the local stats on the last 2 weeks of the tech show. That's 4/7 and 4/14, right?
Hit me with it.
And this is only for, well, of course, it would only be for this month. 23 hits on the 7th and 31 for the 14th, which is, you know, pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
It's pretty good. And I'm still getting lots of hits on old stuff. You know, like October last year, 15 more hits on October 15th for last year. 7 more on the 7th of this year. You know, 12 more, 331. A lot of stuff. October 1st last year, 6, 11, 12, 4, 924, 6 more hits. And they go on and on and on. And that's just, like I said, for this month. I will have to do another little stat thingy and see if I can find out actually how many times total they've all been downloaded. But it's been many, many times now. So either the three people that download it and listen to us are downloading it over and over and over and over again, or we actually have
a short-term memory problem.
Yeah, that's right.
How did they get so far advanced?
Mm.
I don't remember listening to that show.
It's good. You know, it still amazes me every day that, or every week, actually, that you know, we've been doing this tech show for so long now, and it still rolls right along. Sounds better every... And you just remarked, like, last week, how much better it sounds now.
Right.
Than it used to.
You know what those downloads are? Alan set up a cron job and forgot to shut it off.
Yeah.
The same file keeps getting downloaded every day.
Every night at midnight at 12:01, I download the latest show.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens to be in his book, October 15th.
So. That's right. Little time warp.
Oops,
there.
I forgot to update. That's where all my disk space is going.
I see we already have mentioned about the head of the L.A. Lug on our IRC chat tonight. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I read a little bit about that, but I didn't read the whole story. He quit because he doesn't like the fact that Linux is being used in the military?
Yes, he did. He resigned his position as the head of the Linux user group in L.A. because the military is using Linux, and...
By the way, is a good thing.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, these are the people who spend $500 on a hammer. It's a damn good thing they got a free operating system they can go to. But the military is using Linux, and he is protesting the war in Iraq. So therefore, he somehow twisted that into like dissolving his presidency of his LUG.
But I read something on there where he's not going to give up being in the LUG.
No. He's not giving up like participating. He just doesn't want to be president anymore in protest, I guess.
I don't think it makes a heck of a lot of sense, but I guess it does to him, so that's important.
One would wonder how exactly you connect all that together. But, hey. To each his own, and perhaps they'll put somebody in the lead of that LUG who
doesn't
makes a little bit more sense. Yeah.
Now, I did not read the entire article on NewsForge, and I'm just skimming over it right now. And I think it almost looks like they pulled one of those fast moves on you there. That he didn't just resign over the fact of the military's use of Linux, particularly the United States' Army and the use of Linux in the Iraqi war. He also says, my one regret is that more and more it has become an insular collection of geeks that can get along fine, just fine without me. And he's speaking about the Linux users of Los Angeles, that group. So it seems like in addition to, you know, he threw in about the Army stuff there, but I think there's other factors here that are also...
There probably, there would have to be other factors.
Right.
Because, you know, that's pretty ridiculous.
And, you know, hey...
Just my opinion, but, you know, that's a dumb reason for...
I mean,
what are you gonna do?
More power to him, you know. If that's the way he wants to express his opinion... Although I don't, I wonder if that extends into his. I would figure a guy who is running the L.A. the Lula probably is in the IT field in some manner. I wonder if he quit his job altogether. But again, I haven't read the entire article, so I don't know.
Some weird stuff,
oh,
man.
Oh man! See now Patrick had to chime in on the chat and. Pretty soon we're going to get a certified letter from...
RP.
From his lawyers.
Our friend and compadre.
Asking us that we need to remove the chat log.
Remove his name from the chat log.
Well, it's a text file.
Hey, freedom of speech, man.
That's true, yeah.
We can't be monitoring what everybody writes on the... On the logs, on the IRC logs, so anyway.
Anything else there, Mr. Fezzanin?
I have a whole bunch of stuff. I'm waiting for the newsman, Alan, to chime in with his
chime in.
Daily NewsForge summary.
No, Alan, you need to talk. No, Alan,
talk.
The other end.
Yeah, the other end. That's why the mic's up here. I got a Sony co-develops a paper disc. Can hold 25 gigs of data on it. It's paper with plastic soaked into it. Paper pulp with plastic soaked into it. which is it's based on the Blu-ray optical format on it. So it sounds really neat. And one of the things they say, preserving data security when disposing of the paper disc would be easy because you can cut it with scissors.
You could just burn it, right?
You probably toss it in the fire, too, yeah.
Eat it.
Yeah, eat it. Stan's answer to everything. Eat it, man.
They'll make communion wafers out of it, and then you can get your daily. There's an idea. Which you're instead of having, you know, like for the people who can't get to church, you send an electronically encoded communion wafer. They put it in their computer. It plays. They get their sermon for the day, and when it's done, it shoots out, and they, you know, they get for the Catholics get their holy communion.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
God's going to strike us all down for that one.
You know, it's just a thought.
We're going to have the churches out here, like, protesting and during the show.
I didn't mean any disrespect, but it was just, you know, just a thought.
It was just Dan's way of, you know.
Dan's way of blasphemy.
Was
maybe
it
we
meant
don't know. I don't
to
know.
Be blasphemy. It was just a thought going off of the paper medium. Now, that's interesting. Now, I heard of it, but I haven't done any research on it. And obviously, this is probably technology I won't be able to afford for another 5 or 6 years. You know, it's just like all the new technology that comes out. How does it work, Alan?
Well, unfortunately, the article I have doesn't say a whole lot.
Well, so much for your journalistic research.
Yes, I know. I'm not very researchable tonight.
Dude.
It doesn't say a whole lot of, you know, except, you know, like I said, it's based on the Blu-ray technology, optical format, which I guess Sony is putting together. Like I said, unfortunately, my article did not grab all that great information on it, but it looks real interesting. I'll have to dig up some more stuff on it and have a report back to you.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
We can have a review.
A review, yeah. As soon as someone gives me enough money to buy one of these things to play with.
Donations to Alan Metzler, please. Yeah.
Oh, what do we have? Anything else, Alan?
And another one.
What's the medium look like? The media.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't have a picture, so I don't know.
Looks like paper, man.
Well, obviously. But I mean, is it like a disc that comes?
It's a disc.
It comes in a cardboard box.
It's a paper disc in a cardboard box. Yes.
That's it. It has
a recyclable
saran wrap around it in case it's raining outside.
Sure.
Dude, can you imagine if you had, like, your company's database in there and you had it on the front seat of your car and, I don't know,
no,
your wife sat on it?
You're like, the sprinklers come on.
Oh, there goes my thesis. The sprinklers go on.
I just can't imagine having to iron your media, you know, to flatten it back out again.
Do you use the permanent press setting?
Yeah.
No steam, though.
No steam.
Yes. Don't want to do that.
Another one is for those people wanting to try Lindos, or what is it called now? God, I screwed up. Linspire,
yes.
On it. You can get it free. I'm pretty sure you probably still can off the website. If not, there is a magazine out this month, Linux User and Developer. It's one of the UK magazines that come with a CD on the front of it. And that has a full install on it. I was hoping to have something. I picked up the magazine over the weekend. And I was going to try to install it on one of my spare machines that's floating around, one of my old machines. On it. And unfortunately, it does not want to install for me. So that sort of screwed up my review for this evening on it because
No. I think that is the review, right?
Well, that is the review. But like I said, I'm not going to.
The review is that the operating system doesn't install on your computer.
Well, yes, but again, the computer I'm trying to put it on is an old E machine that is sort of funky to begin with. Although I have had no problem putting other.
That is, and that's a lame excuse too. And I'll tell you guys why later.
But I've had no problem getting other, you know, like Slackware or Red Hat. Have installed on that without any problems. So I don't know what exactly it is. I did notice I had the same problem when I tried to do the Fedora that I picked up at the Linux show. It did the same exact thing to me. It gets about halfway through the boot, and it just starts spewing hex characters.
I've seen an error before. It's an ID10T error.
It could be that, too.
Did you get on Linspire's forums and see if anybody else had that problem?
I didn't have any.
No, he didn't.
No, I did not.
Not.
Tonight is the first night.
He's got all that
with
free tech support available. He just tossed it right out the window.
He's going to blame it on the hardware, man. That's what he's blaming
it is on the hardware, though.
No, it's not, man. It's good hardware. I don't care.
Well, yes, I will say my e-machines are good hardware because I've had one running for like 4 years now, constant.
Oh yeah, man.
You know, once it gets the right copy of Linux put on it, it works fine.
Yeah.
It's just something in the way
the right copy of Linux being, of course,
Slackware. Yes.
Yeah.
What I may do with this one, though, I may pull the drive out of it and go down to my parents' house and sort of like, while my wife takes my parents out shopping or something, I'll swap drives in their computer and see if I can get it to install and then just bring the drive home. But that won't happen for a little bit because I haven't been down to my parents' house in a while, so...
Cool.
At least not long enough to swap out a hard drive. Although I should actually just swap the hard drive, get Windows installed, Linspire installed, and just leave it on their computer and see what happens.
Well, hopefully you'll have a review next week.
Probably not next week.
Review the week after.
Linspire.
You got a computer for me to borrow?
That's what we need. We need to get together some old...
Then people start throwing 486s and P133s.
You have to quantify this a little bit, like 400 megahertz around there, kind of something. Some PCs that we could get together and bench out somewhere and just throw like every damn distribution on the planet on them. That would be a lot of fun.
Now, speaking of... go ahead, Alan.
I would enjoy doing that. But.
Speaking of Alan and his little installs, every time I read your blog, it's like you have an ongoing BC Lug meeting going over there. You're always installing a new version of something.
Well, I don't know. I want to see.
Do you have an endless supply of computers or something?
No.
What's
going on? It's the same old crap. I want to save that for my second segment, though. Let me get through, the news that I have on here. Because last time I didn't even get through all the news that I had. And this time I don't have quite as many. Right? All right. So anyway, the stories that caught my eye this week, there are a lot more, but a lot of them really don't pertain to anything that we need to talk about here. PC World, PCWorld.com.
Oh, who reads that crap?
Oh, come on. No. You got to read it. PCWorld.com has an article called In Search of Linux for Grandma. Okay. It says, the subtitle is Grandma Wants Email, What's a Free Software Geek to Do? Is Zandros Desktop 2.0 the answer? Anyway, this is a two-part article written by Matthew Newton of PC World, of course, who is trying to get together, put together some kind of a Linux desktop that, even his grandmother can use. Something really, really easy. Basically,
was he failing?
No. He goes through a lot of different stuff that he's trying out, like the Zandros Desktop 2.0 and things like that. And I think in the second article, he settles on using GNOME 2.6 or something like that. It's a good article. You really should check it out. He goes over a lot of really good points about what kinds of things that basic and beginning users are looking for and how to make things accessible and easy for them to do. And it really is a good article. And there's been a lot of talk lately about, Linux on the desktop. And this one kind of goes right along with it. And, of course, let me also mention that I will go into the IRC chat log and post all of my links for the news and all of that.
Now, is that the online PC World or is that their official magazine?
It is www.pcworld.com.
So this isn't in their print magazine.
I have no idea.
Because nothing like this would show up in a print magazine.
It would be
Linux for Grandma, Windows N98. It's just as good. And
I don't know.
Pick it up for a reduced cost.
It's a two-part article, and it really is a decent article. It talks about GNOME and Nautilus and all kinds of nifty stuff that's going on right now, and I highly advocate checking it out.
Yeah, because nothing screams geek and tech like PC World.
PC World, that's right. Well, we run right over to...
Now, wait a second. I got something to say.
Okay, go for it.
Now, this is what I have to say. That's great that they're writing this article, But don't we have enough of these kind of articles yet? I mean, all these start off, what distribution am I going to use? I'll go through which distribution sounds good. You know, we try out five or six different distributions. Then he comes on, he says he settles on one, gives a couple of pointers why he settled on them, and then that's it. Where is the next level article? It talks about, okay, I decided to use this art, this distribution, and this is what I did, and here's how I got it going, this is what you can do with it. You know, where is that next level article?
That stuff was in there, man. You have to read the article and check it out. There's a lot of that. I mean, it's not like, you know.
Remember when we talked about this a couple
years ago? It's not like an article
out
of Linux World or something like that, or Linux.
You get
Journal,
a basic,
but, you know,
article, or you get a really advanced article.
Right.
Where's the middle ground?
This one's pretty good for middle ground.
I'm going to take your word for
it. It's pretty good for middle ground. You have to read it. It's not bad at all, especially concerning the source, you know, the publication that it comes from. And then we roll into BBC News. I found a lot of interesting stuff from BBC this week. BBC News reports that there are many, many, many PCs infested with spy programs. And this is a big article.
Huge number that they were saying.
Yes.
That are infected.
BBC News is quoting in their article the U.S. net provider Earthlink, which says it uncovers an average of 28 spyware programs on each PC scanned during the first 3 months of the year.
Now, how do they scan that? Do they put spyware on there to scan that person's computer?
I have no idea, man. But
I think it's part of the Earthlink software.
Yeah,
package.
It might be part of the stuff.
Well, I don't know if it's spyware.
It's like a virus scan or something like that.
Yeah, virus scan stuff.
But it says it uncovered more than 29.5 million, that's million with a million examples of spyware. And, of course, we do just want to, the reason that I found this interesting is that, if you know, we want to make our public service announcement here, and those 29.5 million examples of spyware running on computers that were attached to Earthlink's network were, of course, running Windows. So,
yeah.
If you would like to drop yourself from that statistic, please do yourself and everyone else a favor and throw the Windows disk in the trash can and install Linux or one of the BSDs or, you know, Solaris or something.
Something. Guy at work brings in his girlfriend's computer and he asks me to take a look at it. He's like, it doesn't work anymore. I fired it up. After it finally booted up, it had the latest version of XP on it.
There's a problem right there.
I look at the task manager on there. There were so many things that I'm like going, you know, it's like, you know, buythis.com running.
Sure.
And it's like the full names of these things. I'm like, you know, you're a little bit infected here. And I'm looking through the hard drive and it's like, Kazaa is on there and, you know,
A lot of peer-to-peer
stuff is on there. And, you know, it got so bad that it actually wouldn't even shut down the computer. There was so much crap running on there, it wouldn't let the computer shut off.
My father-in-law did that one time. I had to reinstall Windows on his computer, and I swear to you, it took 10 minutes for Windows to start up because it was starting up. There had to be 50.
Yeah.
Of those spyware things in the task manager. Yeah, I mean, you just go down and look. Like, hey, this is was a standard Windows, Windows 98 second edition. There should be, like, what, six or seven things running,
yeah,
you know, by default in the task manager. And he had, like, 60, man. They would just, you know, the list was enormous.
You know, two things. If your ISP is able to scan your machine for spyware, what else are they scanning your machine for? And what's the difference between somebody else doing that and reporting and what they're doing and reporting? Second thing, why is it then, because all this spyware generates incredible amounts of unnecessary traffic. Now, OS X and Linux don't have this problem, but you call up an ISP and you say, I'm running Linux, the first thing they say is, we don't support Linux. But yet, you know, we're not taking up as much unnecessary bandwidth.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And what kills me is, like, a lot of the big ISPs will block ports. And the reason that they block ports is because, you know, the malicious, the malware and stuff and the spyware things that go on. And, like, my personal ISP happens to block port 80. And the reason they started doing that was back when the, what was that bug?
NIMDA.
NIMDA, yes. They started blocking that with NIMDA.
I think it's up to like version V or W.
Yeah, yeah. They started blocking that because of NIMDA, so I, of course, had to change my website to run on a non-standard port. I run on 8080 now. But you know what? My website never, ever, ever got infected with NIMDA because I do not run IIS.
You keep your IIS patched, right?
Yeah, right. But, you know, I don't run that Windows software, but they, of course, had to block me off just to block off all the rest of the morons that were on there that, you know. I think if they should be able to tell, okay, this person who's on, you know, if they're an ISP, they should be able to look through the logs and say, okay, well, this guy who happens to be one of our customers is sending out a flood of information full of NIMDA viruses and, you know,
like
let's just shut him down. You know what I mean? Turn off his access. Send him an email, tell me he's got to fix it, and turn his access off. And they should do that. You know, that would be a responsible thing to do. But instead, they shut off all the access to port 80 for everybody, even the people like me who are not having that kind of problem.
Because that's the easiest way.
Yeah, because that was the easiest way to do it. I think, you know, the easiest way would be to say you violate your terms of service in a contract because you're flooding, you know, spam on the internet, and we just, you know, we're going to continue to bill you and shut your access off. That would make me happy because I'm not doing it, and I would have more bandwidth then.
Yep.
You know? But they don't think like that. Anyway, Connectiva Linux 9 is a distribution of Linux you might have heard of before. This is the Latin American distribution you should know, according to OSNews.com, which has a nice review on Connectiva Linux, a four-page review, in fact. And it looks pretty neat. It looks kind of almost like a Red Hat / Fedora-style sort of knockoff. Except for they mentioned that it has some tools like apt. They use an apt and, boy, I need better notes. Apt
that
and,
apt is as in I'm apt to get something?
Yeah, apt and synaptic, which I guess is a GUI front-end kind of thing for apt. And
yeah,
looks like
really
a
nice.
Looks like a neat thing. I haven't checked it out yet, but this supposedly is a really, really big Latin American type distribution. I might just have to check it out and see what it looks like.
Yeah, because it's so hard to type apt get package that
yes,
you need to
yes.
fire up a GUI to do it.
I actually prefer Swarat myself.
The,
so.
Synaptic package. Also, if you don't know the name of your package and you're just like looking, or you're just like scanning through saying, gee, I want to download this, it makes it real nice to do.
Yeah, apt get search. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it's apt-get search. I know. You can do all those things.
That is being a jerk. Dude, this is the main reason why you should switch to Linux. Look at that cool screensaver going on over there. Now, come on. What other operating system, aside from the free
pipes,
has such cool screensavers?
I like the cow one.
Yeah, the
cow's got the screensaver has a cow like jumps up and down on his
and I've cool. said this before, but every couple of weeks they update this X screensaver, and it's such a treat to see the new stuff. It's just so excellent.
It's a treat that's hard to be beat.
Has computer set up with no keyboard or mouse, just so you can
it
see
just sits there and runs the screensaver.
Screen.
You know, what
TWM with a screensaver.
That's funny. Big news, big news on the technology front. BBC News is reporting that brain chips could help the paralyzed. They're actually getting FDA approval? That's Food and Drug. No, it's got to be the other one.
No, FDA, Food and Drug Administration.
Anyway, they're getting approval to do some human testing regarding chips that they can implant in your brain to help you, to help paralyzed people send signals down to their muscles. Which, of course, you know, the reason you're paralyzed is because you have some sort of a spinal cord injury and your brain can no longer get the messages that it needs to down to your muscles to react the way they're supposed to. So, they're going to start doing human testing on this little microchips implanted in your brain that they can record signals from your brain and figure out how to send them down to your broken arms and legs and get things running again, which is going to be a really outstanding thing.
That's very helpful.
I'm waiting for
the memory chips, though.
Yeah. Like Johnny Mnemonic, right?
Yeah.
We need to have one of, yeah, forget USB, man. I just jack my head right in the computer. I still have, well, let me run through the rest of these articles really, really quick, and then we got to get going because it's getting late already. Man, we could do like a 2-hour show. You know that? Linux, this guy called Alex Moskaluk has,
sorry,
in his,
for screwed up your name.
Yeah, something like that. Has an article in his weblog about weblog.
It's long. Weblog.
Weblog. About
over there now.
Linux Fest Northwest 2004. And basically what it amounts to is they had this big, you know, Linux Fest. Everybody got together and they had a really good time. And they had all kinds of cool people and speakers there and stuff like that. And what I wanted to know, what caught my attention about it, is, you know, why don't we have something like that on the East Coast that we can all play it? That's what pisses me off. So, I propose this. I propose that we have to, maybe we should advertise it on the tech show. We could all get together, like, one day somewhere in the summer or something.
I thought that happened down in Philadelphia.
Well, the BC Lug and the Philly Lug hold a thing where they all get together, but we'll have to make sure that we hype it up a little bit and advertise and see if we can get some people together this year, because it sounds like these guys had a whole lot of fun, and, you know, hell, that's for
now,
me.
You missed this before you arrived here today, but my wife came in with that flyer, that shindig that's going on down PUG or whatever it is. It's going on down in New Orleans. I don't know if you got an email about it, but all these lugs converging in New Orleans for this big party and everything on May 31st to July 2nd. And we're thinking about driving down to New Orleans in the next couple of months, just for a couple of days, something to do. And she said, hey, we should drive down this. You know what my response was to her? I said, okay, I'll think about it. Now, she's willing to go down there, and my response is, I'll think about it. That's getting pretty close, you know. That's only a few weeks away. You know, what the heck am I thinking?
That's a good drive, too, New Orleans from here, man. That's right. Good drive.
Too damn long.
19 hours, I think it is.
Yeah, we'll just go down for a couple of days. Gee, it takes you that long to get
road
there.
Trip.
Yahoo News, yahoobiz.yahoo.com says, this is a Reuters article, Reuters, something like that. Startup says Linux copyright abuse free. Now, the startup that they're talking about here is it's a new group called the Open Source Risk Management Group. And what they are saying is that Linux, the Linux kernel that SCO is having such a problem with, they went through it, and they're saying it's free of copyright abuse. And this is the kernel 2.4 and 2.6. Let me see if I can get you a nice quote in here.
Well, how do they know if they don't know what SCO's saying is copyright?
Well, they do know, because these are the guys. Well, let me read you the quote. The new company, Open Source Risk Management, OSRM, set up by lawyer and venture capitalist Daniel Egger, plans to offer standard product liability insurance to major user Linux vendors, big corporate users, and individual developers of Linux. These guys, this guy Egger, and the other person that founded this was the lady who runs Grok Law. So they know, you know, they know from whence they speak, and I just think this is a cool thing.
Well, I don't mean to argue with them. Of course, I would think that
I think they're capitalizing it a little bit because, you know, they want to get some money out of this whole deal. They're going to offer insurance, but still, if they're willing to put big money behind the fact that Linux does not have any of this offending code in it, you can pretty much bet at this point that it doesn't. And, you know,
which then begs the question,
that SCO was full of
if they're going to put big money that it has no offending code in it, then why would you pay?
Yeah, well, pretty much. Well, you know, some corporate people, they just want all that kind of thing, I guess.
They go for the protection. It's easier to pay for the protection and just to be sure.
Here's a Unix-y kind of article.
Yeah, that was Pamela Jones who runs Grokla.
For all you sysadmins, BBC News reveals that passwords are not as secure as you might think they are. in an article that they titled Password Revealed by Sweet Deal, they say more than 70% of people would reveal their computer password in exchange for a simple bar of chocolate, survey found. It also shows that 34% of respondents volunteered their password when asked, even without the chocolate. Now, this is a travesty, people, because I would be really pissed off if one of the people that I have on my Unix systems just arbitrarily started handing out their passwords. So, interesting article. Check the rest of it out. It kind of gave me the willies, as a sysadmin. Last thing that I have on the docket, Business Week Online Technology Special Report. And it's actually a series of special reports, and they call it Linux Spreads Its Wings. And in this little series of articles, they're talking about the penguin is popping up all over. Linux has matured. For China, Linux has lots to like. Clouds still swirl around scope. And Linux ecosystem for cell phones. For Novell, Linux means new life. And on and on and on. Check the article out. Make sure you check all of these articles out. I'm going to put the links on the tech show chat log. Check them out. Which brings in one quick...
You've been talking about putting links on the chat log. I don't see anything going on.
Well, I usually put them in there. After the chat log is done, I stick them in the beginning.
So there you have it. Link actually modifies the chat afterwards, so you don't know whether what you have said is actually what you said or what Link has interpreted it for you.
That is correct. It's my just a little way of controlling everything. I saw another article. Just read my mail and stuff before I came over here, and they're talking about Novell, Novell has decided that they want everybody now to switch over to open source stuff, like the whole organization, and they're trying to push. I think next year or something like that. Anyway, Novell's trying to push everybody into OpenOffice to use as their spreadsheet thingy. And then they're going to push...
Next time, put it on silent, Alan, instead of interrupting the whole show for your personal phone calls.
I'm sorry.
They're going to push all their own office people over to Linux and open source programs, which is a really good thing, and I'm kind of happy they're doing that. In fact,
I'm happy too.
And but they also said since they bought out Zandros or Zeemian, since they bought out Zeemian, their thing is within the next couple of years to push, or the next few years, I think they said up to 2007, they want to see their new desktop that they're developing on 40% of the Linux desktops, and they want to switch, like I think they said, 20 some odd percent of desktops in total. A couple of years later, they want to be running their new desktop. So, I'm interested to see what they come up with, and I want to see what it looks like and how it works. And so, stay tuned and keep your eyes peeled for that one.
Yeah, it works just like Slack with a little more bloat.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Like they all do.
Like they all do. There is only one Linux, and it's Slackware.
Words.
And that is the news. Unless you guys have something to add.
No, you just steamrolled over everybody else's time, so
that's right again,
why not?
Man. That's my job. I steamroll over everybody, and I control the sound effects. So, anyway, are we ready to do our... you want to do our little musical interlude thing?
Sure.
Our little musical interlude thing tonight is going to be an oldie but a goodie. It seems to be very, very difficult at this point in time to find any new music that's like open source that we can play for our intermission that is actually decent enough to listen to.
I did find that site. We didn't get a chance to download anything.
Yeah, we're working on it. Alan's going to work on that for next week. He's found, what's the name of the site?
It's the Archives. Over here. The Internet Archives. It's www.archives.org on it. And it's tons and tons of basically just free stuff. They have movies on there. So we grabbed the Dawn of the Dead one.
Oh, yeah, that was great, man.
Tons of stuff on there. It's really interesting to poke around on.
Yeah. But anyway, since we haven't had any chance to dig around for any new good stuff, we're going to play one from one of our supporter kind of music groups, X11. And we're going to play their oldie but a good one, Nowhere But the Night. This is, again, by X11.
Questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux users group, so if you hail from the area, come join us.
Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then consider checking out our sister organization, the Linux Special Interest Group, run by LVLUG member Jeff Sartler. The Linux SIG caters to newbies and runs hands-on labs. If you are south of us, be sure to look up the Bucks County Linux Users Group or the Philadelphia Linux Users Group. Those to the east, there is the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal to Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley. If you find yourself in one of those rare locations that is not conveniently near any Linux Users Group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening, and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together.
You are listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yay. Man, it's still a long promo. That's longer than most of the songs we play at intermission.
Actually, it is. It's
now,
a couple of good minutes anyway.
We're getting close to, what time is it?
Oh, it's, we got 8 minutes left in the show.
We're getting close. We're getting close to the end. And I said on the, did you guys read the Tech Show blog at all today?
I did read the Tech Show blog.
You
yes.
did. And I said I had a revelation.
And I am waiting yes. with bated breath.
Sure. You are waiting with bated breath.
Reveal it to me, Dan.
Look at this.
Ooh. And I was just cutting on you about that today.
That's
too.
Right. And I was thinking to myself, you just wait, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Check that out.
Gen 2 running.
For the sake of the audience who does not, since we don't have the video running yet, you may want to explain to what.
Well, I was just about to get to that before you jumped the gun and,
okay, well,
and ruined the flow.
Sorry,
I have Gen 2 on my OS 10, PowerBook 12 inch. And I was going to talk to people about my experience with Gen 2. Because I did.
You mean you have Gen 2 on your PowerBook?
I have Gen 2 on my PowerBook.
Gen 2 on your OS 10. It's actually
yeah. Well, actually, with Mac on Linux, I have OS 10 on my Gen 2.
Wow.
You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
You got chocolate in my peanut butter. And Link's got his tongue in there.
That's right.
Anyway.
No, it's my finger.
I did a stage one install of Gen 2 this past weekend.
That's the long install.
That's the long one. Well, I started off on Friday night after I came home from work, and I said, I think it's time I reinstalled Linux on this thing. So I slapped Yellow Dog in here. And that installed smooth, no problem. I put that on there. Everything was working fine. I did some updates and stuff like that. And I went to run Mac on Linux, and it wouldn't run in anything beyond 8-bit. And I heard that, well, if you compile the Riva frame buffer support in to the kernel, it'll run in a, you know, 15 and 24-bit is what they call it, but 16 or 32-bit on a Linux end. So I tried recompiling my kernel numerous times in Yellow Dog, and it would fail at every point.
Oh, boy.
It just wouldn't work. So finally I said, the heck with this. I'm like, what other distribution can I try? I thought about Debian, and then I thought, you know.
And then he said, nah.
I was reading through the install stuff, and it's like, well, they tell you that you should make the partition at the front of the hard drive and do this and that and trying to find the right boot disks. And I don't have a disk drive. I got to boot off a CD, do X, Y, and Z. And the only other way they could do it is they're telling me I had to boot off of, I can install the software, but then I'd have to install it into the first partition on the hard drive or whatever. So I bagged that. And then I went and I looked at Gen 2, and that looks pretty cool. So I grabbed their live CD for doing the install, the stage one. It was 86 megs. Fair download. I slapped that in there, man. Sucker booted. It would not get through the proc stage of the in it. Turns out there's some kind of quirk with the Gen 2. and the PowerBook 12-inch and some of the other G4 PowerBooks that it doesn't boot properly. But luckily, somebody had made a new live install CD within the past month, actually. So I was able to slap that in there, and I got it, did the stage one install, no problem. Kicked it right off. That means compiling everything for this machine right from the get-go. Now, first problem I'm going to say with Gen 2. And I'm going to touch base on this in a couple of minutes. One of the things that kept going through my mind this whole time is, do I really want a 3-day Linux install? To get the system to a point where I can actually reboot it and log in took about a day. You know, and I wasn't on top of it the whole time, but it took about a day. So it was one of those things where you start a process, you go away, you come back a little later. And once I got it up to the point where I can log in, had network support, you know, that was fine. You know, then I started down with X-Free. That took another day. And a window manager besides Window Maker. I mean, besides TWM. And then I wanted X-Chat and all, you know, a couple other things that I just wanted to get going for this show. But actually, it got to the point of being addicting to go and find something that you can emerge. Anyway, it took an awful long time. So, in all honesty, I don't think I'd be doing this on a lower-end machine. Anything below maybe 500 megahertz is
take weeks to download or to compile.
Yeah, it took a little while. You can be okay there?
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. Anyway, there were some glitches during the install. For one, when I first rebooted, all of a sudden, hard drive A turned into hard drive C. But I was able to get around that, and I found that there was a kernel option for PowerBooks, as you can say. And I found this out because I posted to the Gen 2 forum, and about 10 minutes later, I got a response. So I must say their support has been really... You know, community support has been top-notch, and it was nice. A couple other questions I had, people were answering for me. And what was the sweetest thing about it is, from the get-go, you start off, one of the first things you do is you compile a kernel for yourself. No problems whatsoever. I went back in, I recompiled the kernel again just for some other stuff that I wanted. No problem compiling a kernel. Everything went fine. And then I had Mac on Linux, threw that on here. And that ran perfectly. And the frame, you know, 24-bit looks great. So I'm really happy with that. All in all, my Gen 2 experience has been very positive. Just following along the documentations, learning a lot of new stuff about the PowerPC architecture, some of the limitations. One of the things I can't get working properly is, for some reason, my time zone and my hardware clock. It seems like no matter what I end up setting it to, it's always 3 or 4 hours ahead. And I don't know why it's doing that.
What's your time zone set to?
U.S. Eastern.
And you want to set your hardware clock, right?
Well, my hardware clock is set. And it's set to local time, which was... And local time, when you set it through zone info, you say, well, the hardware clock set to local time, and the local time is Eastern.
Right.
So, but for some reason, my time keeps getting changed, and I don't know how that's happening. There was one time right before I left work today where I changed, you know, linked it up to the Eastern, and it was working fine. And when I rebooted now, I mean, it's telling me right now.
It's because
now,
you didn't save your time back to the, like, if you change your time, you don't save
the hardware
it with the hardware clock.
The hardware clock was changed. When I ran hardware clock, it was the same time as when I ran date. Mm-hmm. When I run it now, it's telling me it's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. So we're like, what? It's
been a really
four
long
hours.
Show.
Yeah.
Woo! And
so
boy,
I'm still trying to work through that, which is kind of funky. But anyway, when I was done, I got to say, it's been a really solid system so far. I mean, there's been a couple of quirks, but nothing I can't get around. I've been really pleased with Gen 2. I like it a lot. I'm very impressed with it. One of the things that wasn't so great is it's one of the only distributions by default that doesn't install VI. Can you believe it?
What does it put in there?
Nano as the editor. Now the live CD does have VI, but when you do you go through stage one and then you get into stage two, it doesn't install VI.
software.
It doesn't install VI Improved. Of course, it doesn't install Emacs.
So yeah, that's a whole other week.
So I did install, one of the first things I installed was VI, and I got that on there. Then I went for
3 days to install Gentoo. On,
5 days to install Emacs.
5 days to install Emacs after that.
So I was just going to say, well, that's why stage one takes so long, because it's installing Emacs. Mm.
But anyway, I went to install VI Improved, and it bombed for some reason. Didn't compile properly. But interesting thing is, I found that if I run an Emerge and compile something and it fails, if I do it again and maybe a third time, eventually it succeeds. Go
really?
Figure. I don't know why.
Is it just like resolving dependencies along the way and not... You know what I mean? Like you have to run ldconfig after you put libraries on your system kind of thing?
Well, it's supposed to. It downloads all the dependencies and installs those and runs all that stuff. It was supposed to, so why...
Yeah, but like maybe it's downloading, sticking the libraries in and putting software on there for your dependencies. However, it's not...
It's not supposed
it's
to be
not
doing
refreshing
that.
Your, it's not refreshing your user so that you can actually find them to continue the install of the program you want.
But I got to say, Gentoo reminded me a lot of the NetBSD install and using the ports on NetBSD. And you could do the compile or you can install the packages.
Well...
And there's a crap load of packages.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of NetBSD, are you done?
Go right ahead.
It leads me into the foray into my NetBSD experiences the last couple of days. I have previously been running, and I'll be real brief since we're already over time. I've been previously running NetBSD 1.5.2 at work on a box. And this also ties into Alan's gripe about his... What kind of box was that?
The e-machine box.
Yeah, but what? How fast was it?
300 megahertz.
300. I have a 433 megahertz e-machine box. I've been running NetBSD for at work. My box, by the way, but I do run it at work. NetBSD 1.5.2 for a long, long time. Well, I figured it was finally time to upgrade this stupid thing, and I went out and grabbed myself NetBSD 1.6.2, which is the current hyped-up windingy NetBSD going on, and put it in there, and boy, oh boy, was I impressed. Wow.
Link is a happy boy.
Let me tell you what, the entire install from you know, A to Z was done in less than 20 minutes. I think it was less than 15, but I didn't time it precisely. That's fast. And this is a complete Unix install, boys and girls. This is not, you know, this is not some little piddly, you know, the only thing you can get is a prompt kind of thing. A complete Unix install was done in less than 20 minutes. And it just works so much smoother now. 1.5.2, I put it on there, and I compiled a custom kernel for this box and stuff like that to help speed it up. 1.6.2 is using the default kernel. It just runs right along, seems to run nice and smooth. Evidently, they worked on getting a new version of X-Free in there, because the X-Free now, I detected on 1.5.2, I detected like a 1024 by 768. And then my card on this 1.6.2 was 1400 by 1280 or something like that. No, it's nice. A nice 19-inch monitor, so it really isn't bad. The 1024 by 768, the characters are looking like, you know, big little chicklicky numbers or something. But anyway, it was really, really good. I'm really impressed with it. If you run NetBSD at all and you haven't upgraded to 1.6.2, try it out. Try it on some i386 hardware. Runs really, really good. And I've also had a couple of comments. People are impressed with the screenshots.
Yeah, I
took
that
on
earlier.
The thing. And I mean, all of it was, I put XFCE3 on it with Roxfiler, and you know, of course, they 1.5.2, I could never get Roxfiler to work on the thing. 1.6.2, put XFCE on there, Roxfiler, blam, everything works. It's all beautiful, pretty, nice little transparent terminals and a whole bit. Anyway, try it out. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about really, really fast is that I have an article on my website about me spending a little bit of time running Splack, which is Slackware port, sort of, an unauthorized Slackware port, to the Spark architecture machine, Spark stations. I happen to have a Spark Station Voyager at home. And
yeah, I want to see that thing.
This is cool, man. Spark Station Voyager at home, and I was tooling around the web looking for Linux to put on this thing, and came across Splack. And the last time I looked at Splack was a long time ago, and it, you know, you had to build your own CD, and I really didn't have the ambition for that. This time they had an ISO that I found, so I grabbed it, stuck it on there. Man, it's slick. I'm telling you, it's just almost exactly like Slackware. The only difference you really can tell in a couple of places is instead of seeing Slackware on the unlike the installer pages, it says Splack. That's about it.
Cool.
Really, really nice. I was impressed with it. I don't think you can get a whole lot of packages for it, but as long as you have a big enough drive to stick the compilers on there, you can compile whatever the hell you want.
Compile everything you need for
it. Yeah, right. I mean, I'm not going to do that on my Voyager because it's got like an 800 meg drive on there. There's no way I could even get the operating system and a compiler on there, so I didn't do it. But for that machine, simply what I wanted to do was, you know, something I could run a shell script or two on and use it as a kind of an X terminal sort of thing. You know, log in different places over my network or grab an X session here or there. Works just fine. It's pretty cool. And it plays sound, which is why I didn't want to put NetBSD on there.
Cool. I can bring it to like one of the meetings.
Oh, yeah,
meetings.
We're going to have to bring it and show it off. It's pretty cool, man. But at any rate,
you know what?
That's it for me, anyway.
Little plug here.
Boink. Plug.
Don't forget about reading Linux Gazette and .NET and LinuxGazette.com. Really good online magazines. There is a little thing in the mailbag for the April issue. Did you read the April issue?
Not yet.
Looking for Stephen Blint. Somebody's trying to contact a guy named Stephen Blint, who they thought was in the Answer Gang, but actually wrote a couple of articles for Linux Gazette, and the Answer Gang reports back this and says that he'd be difficult to track down because he doesn't have an email anymore, and given his own statement of his lifestyle, and this is, Stephen is a homeless Englishman who lives in a tent in the woods. He eats out of bins and smokes cigarette butts he finds on the road. Though he once worked for a short time as a C programmer, he prefers to describe himself as a keen amateur.
I did read that. Yeah,
that's
that kind
of funny. Tragic, but kind of funny.
I did read that. That was pretty good, man.
So support your Linux Gazette.
That's right. And support your, you know, your
Linux periodicals in general.
Linux people.
Isn't Faber associated with Linux Gazette?
He is. He's one of the guys.
He says he owns the domain name. I know that.
Net or .com.
Net. He does the net one, the original.
.com is now with Linux Journal and the SSC people.
Okay. He's part of the Answer Gang. Faber is. At any rate, does anybody have anything else they'd like to add tonight?
I think that's it for me.
That's it for me.
Remember to email us comments.
This is pretty big news. For those of you who are fans of Cartoon Network, supposedly, due to the success of Adult Swim, Cartoon Network may be, or is probably, picking up and developing new episodes of Futurama and Family Guy.
That'd be good.
So be on the lookout for that.
I did hear something about that, yep.
Also, new episodes of Inuyasha start this Saturday at 11 p.m. Inuyasha. But anyway, Futurama and Family Guy hopefully coming soon. So support your Cartoon Network Adult Swim so we get some new cartoons.
New cartoons.
New cartoons.
Is that it?
That's it.
Is that it
for me?
Are we done with the show? Oh, my goodness. The time does fly. Anyway, this is it for episode
29.
A lot of episodes, man. A lot more than I had expected.
We
only
got 23 more episodes to go for a full year.
Yeah, and then we got to have some kind of really wicked celebration thing going on, I think.
Tiki bars.
Tiki bars a couple weeks.
4 weeks. We got to move it back another week.
Okay.
To what, the 15th?
No, to the 8th.
Move it back.
Move it to, okay.
Eventually. We'll
That's it. No more moving it back. The 8th is final.
All right.
It actually may make the wife happy because she was giving up going to a graduation thing or something I was getting dragged.
Is your wife graduating from middle school? Well, I'm sorry, Alex.
Happy to
Here
hear
comes
that.
The cops.
I thought that was his sister.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that wasn't nice. I was just kidding.
No, I think it's like a communion or something that we had to go to.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad that we can accommodate you now.
Awesome.
But the first is the computer show, isn't it?
Yes, it's the Trenton
Computer Festival.
Well, that'll make it
everybody,
a lot easier.
Oh, but yeah, that's a good public service announcement, too. Even though it's still a ways away and we can announce it again next week, make sure you check out tcf-nj.org. If you're on the East Coast, you need to get yourself over to this nice little computer festival and hang out with everybody and get some good hardware. Spark stations.
Sparks.
AS400s.
I need a better video card
AIX
for my Sparks.
AIX boxes. You know, all kinds of deck stations and stuff, you know, Vaxes. Good stuff.
I want one that does more than like 8-bit color.
More than, well, you might be able to find something like that. At any rate, I am Link.
I'm Alan.
Okay, Alan.
Dan.
I'm Alan. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night.
Pulling up Sling. Pulling up Sling Tech Show. Pulling up Sling. Pulling up Sling Tech Show.